So I have a question to ask. I want you to think about this for a minute. What is the best gift you ever received? Now, the older you are, the more you're going to have to think about this because it might go all the way back to your childhood. My husband put this picture up on Facebook I think it was last Christmas. And when he did, out of nowhere, all these people start commenting and they're like, yes, this was the best gift ever. Now, guys, it was the 70s, so the bar is really low. Because what happens here? There's a mountain and some army guys go up it. That's all. My husband's favorite gift ever, right? Do you see the price, too, from the Sears catalog? $15 for the best gift ever. So it made me start thinking, I'm a girl of the 70s, too. How many of my friends out here got the Barbie dream house one year? Anybody? Oh, I loved this. It had a little elevator. My mom's here. She knows. I loved this. And so those were our favorite gifts that we've ever received. I don't know what yours is, but I was starting to think back as I began to write this about, you know, the younger you are, the harder it is to wait for Christmas. All my moms out here, we know, right? 2 more weeks, 3 more weeks of Advent would be great to get through everything. But when you're little, you're like, where is Christmas? I'm ready. I'm tired of waiting. Back in 1998, I had one little girl. Her name was Elizabeth. She was 2 and a half. And she couldn't wait for Christmas for one reason. She wanted it to be over. My friend Jody's here. She remembers why. My soon-to-be middle daughter, Katie, was about to be born. Now, we didn't know if it was going to be a girl or a boy. And we certainly didn't know if her name was going to be Katie. That was my choice. My husband really liked Emily. But my Elizabeth, she knew. She had faith. She could see in the future. And she said, I'm going to have a sister, and her name will be Kate. Now, there's a reason behind this. She watched a lot of TV. And so there was a TV show called Arthur. Anyone here remember Arthur? And Arthur had a baby sister, and her name was Kate. And so that was it. Elizabeth's like, we're having a sister, and her name is Kate. And so that Christmas, we were at a little home missions church in Lowell. And so here I am, like 9 months pregnant, and we have a little Christmas program. Any of you ever been in a Christmas program before? She got to be the sheep with the little ears, and just she couldn't wait for it to be over. And I was loving Christmas with her. I mean, we got her, my niece Jordan, and her little matching dresses with little matching hats, and I was having a blast. We had my family over. She's getting presents, and the girl could not wait for Christmas to be over. She just wanted it to be over because waiting is hard. Waiting is hard. And you know, that's how the people of Israel felt. See, in the Bible, it starts with the book of Genesis, which is right at the beginning. And in Genesis chapter 3, something happened. Adam and Eve had been walking with God. And then Eve and Adam, they ate from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it separated them from God's perfect presence, and he had to send them out of the garden. But from that day, for thousands of years, the people of Israel had been waiting because God made a promise. And when God makes a promise, it's true. And so they had been waiting for thousands and thousands of years till we get to this day that we celebrate on this morning. The day when the promise, the king that was coming, would come. And so we're going to look into the New Testament, Luke chapter 2. The Bible has two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at these verses right here. Verse 4 says, Joseph was a descendant of King David. And he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged and was now expecting a child. What happened is Joseph and Mary lived up in Galilee in Nazareth, but the king had said, everyone has to go to the home your great-great-great-grandfather is from. And for Joseph, that was Bethlehem. So they go there, and you know what God knew long ago when Adam and Eve were in the garden? And he said the king was coming. He knew that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. He didn't just make a promise. He made a promise with some details. The king was coming, and he would be born in Bethlehem. And so this couple is the most unlikely couple to have a king. See, if you're going to pick a place to have a king, you're going to go to where the palace is, right? Where the king and the queen would normally be. And God knew that this baby would be born in Bethlehem. And Mary would take him and wrap him in just strips of cloth. No beautiful baby blanket for them, for him. And then she would place him in a manger. That's what the animals ate out of, the feeding trough. And God knew that long ago. And so God always keeps his promises. Maybe you're sitting here today and Christmas is hard, but deep in your heart, God has given you a promise. You can believe it. Here's a promise. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He is with us and he is for us. So when I think back to 1998, I am not sure how it would have gone down if Elizabeth had a brother. See, she just didn't want that. She wanted a sister, but God is good, isn't he? And sometimes our plans are not his plans. Sometimes our ways are not his ways. But she did get a sister, and her name was Kate. And if she had had a brother, she probably would have been sad for a little bit. If she had a sister named Emily instead of Kate, she might have been sad, but she would have got over it, because now she has a sister named Emily. She would have recovered. And so we're sitting here today, and it's not actually Christmas yet. Christmas is tomorrow. We're in this season called Advent. And Advent is when we wait patiently, we wait with anticipation, and we wait with joy, because we know God keeps his promises. God is good, and he is for us. The King is coming. That is the song we sing for Advent. And that child that Mary wrapped that morning was no ordinary baby. If you were here last night, you know there was no mundane. He is the majesty in the manger. He is the light of the world, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. And so that's why we're here today. We want to celebrate that. We want to remember that God's promise is true. And we, the earth, you and me, we can receive our King. We can share it. We can proclaim it from the mountain. How many of you here go to Kids Harbor? Anybody here go to Kids Harbor? Have you been here while we've been singing Go Tell It on the Mountain? Are you ready to sing it the loudest in your row? Because we want to hear you. Why don't we all stand? We're going to sing.
Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That is the reason we're here today, because Jesus Christ was born. That God, our Father, came down to earth as a child, and he is born this day. And that fact alone is enough to get me in the Christmas spirit, that our Heavenly Father came to earth. But I've been thinking about the other things that have gotten me in the Christmas spirit over the years. I've thought about gifts. I love receiving gifts. I love giving gifts. I love decorating cookies with my cousins. I love spending time with my family to the point of getting really, really angry with them. My family also does fireworks every Christmas, which is a unique tradition maybe, but we love it. I love it. It gets me in the spirit. But I think what gets me most in the Christmas spirit is singing Christmas carols. I absolutely love singing carols. And I think my favorite caroling memory is every year my family goes to church. We're going to go to this church again tonight. And we sing carols. We see old friends. And at the end of the service, it's at 4 o'clock, and so by the end of the service, the sun has just set. It is dark in the sanctuary, and the choir comes out from their back area, and they circle around the entire worship area. And everyone has a candle, and we pass a flame through the crowd. And in the darkness, lit only by firelight, with no instruments and just our voices, we sing out, "Silent Night, Holy Night." And to this day, this is one of my favorite carols, and we're going to sing it later. Spoiler, sorry. And we're going to sing it later, and I love it, and I absolutely love it, so I don't mean to demolish it right now, because it's full of spiritual truth from Jesus' birth. But was it really a silent night? I've never been in the delivery room of a mother giving birth, but from my understanding, it is not a silent experience. It's loud, it's messy, a lot of details I will not share because it's a family service. And so Christmas in its entirety is about Jesus Christ coming to earth, about Jesus being born. And so I can't imagine that it was as silent as that song makes it out to be. Or Away in a Manger says about Jesus, no crying he makes. Jesus was a newborn baby. Yes, he was the Son of God, fully God, fully powerful, but he was also fully human. So he probably cried. And if you don't believe me that babies cry, you can step back into Kids Harbor. And the first couple minutes after service, there is always a couple tears. And so last night, Jake talked about the majesty in the manger, the glory that was there that night. So I don't want to diminish the majesty in any sense, but I do want to talk about a couple misconceptions that we might have about the manger. And so I have this Fisher-Price nativity here, and I don't know if we have it on the screen. Oh, we do. Great. And so before we get into all of this, I want to read the scripture that we get this scene from. Luke 2, 5-7 says, "He, Joseph, went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." So we have this verse that tells us about Jesus' birth. And we also have a couple of verses in Matthew. And those are the only scripture that are narrative or story of when Jesus was born. And we don't know many details from scripture, except that they went to Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem, and they had a baby. So this Fisher-Price manger scene is beautiful and based off some scripture. But there's also a lot of time and tradition and music that kind of shaped this image. So here's a couple issues I have with it. First of all, Mary and Joseph were from Israel, so they probably were not white. This is very Americanized. Another thing, Jesus, you can't see it there, has a halo, and many pieces of art show Jesus with a glow around him. So unless he fell into radioactive waste, he was not luminescent. He was normal human skin tone. So as we get into this nativity scene, these are the wise men, or magi. They were astrologers. They studied the night sky. And so they were looking up at the sky. They saw the Star of David, which pointed to where Jesus was, and they followed it. They went right to go see it after they took a pit stop to go see King Herod. But they did not get to see Jesus until a couple months or even a couple years after Jesus was born, because it takes a while to follow a star. So I'm going to take them out of this manger scene because they were not there the night Jesus was born. Then we have the shepherds. They were lower class citizens, young men who did not own land, and they watched over sheep by day and by night. And the angel came to them and said, "Go see this newborn baby Jesus." So they were there, but not till after Jesus was born. We don't know exactly when they showed up, but it was not during the birthing process. So I'm going to take them out. This next one might be a little touchy, but I'm going to take the angel away from here too. Because while the angel was a key player in the nativity, birth of Jesus, all that, there's no scripture that tells us that the angel was visibly present while Jesus was born. And then these animals. Jesus was in a manger, a feeding trough of animals. So they were there, but in Bethlehem, a poor city, people would lock their animals up inside at night so they wouldn't be stolen from bandits. So they probably weren't out in the manger. Then this beautiful wooden shed, this barn, open-faced barn, probably wasn't there either. Bethlehem was a poor town, and so the people there did not have barns to keep their animals. They would have actually dug out an area under their house. So, kind of bare bones nativity here. After we look at the culture of the time and the scripture and all the things that have been added to the nativity by time and music and tradition, we are left with this. With Joseph, a carpenter, with Mary, an unmarried mother, and a baby lying in the dirt. And so God, our Father, Creator, came to this earth as Jesus, alone, as a baby. So God, who is the creator of all, the sustainer of all, the creator, the author of life, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords, entered into this world that he created as a vulnerable, defenseless child, as the lowest of the low and the least cared for, with absolutely nothing. And this is important because John 1:14 says, "The Word, or God, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth." And so God became flesh. He became human so he could dwell among us, so he could walk with us, his people. So he could walk with us just as we are, as broken, as struggling, as hurting, as alone. He came to enter into our state of being. He gave himself to us so he could fulfill the promises that he made to Moses and to Abraham and to David, that he wouldn't remain separated from us as he had been, but he would walk directly with us. He would walk with us just as he did in the garden. That he came here to restore his relationship with us and to walk with us, to show us his undying and unconditional love and grace. So our Fisher-Price manger set might be a little different than the events that actually transpired that night, but they are important because they hold the truth of why we are here today, that Jesus Christ is born. So that night, it might not have been silent, but it was a holy night because it was set apart as the night that God our Father came to earth, and that is why we are here. And so we can sing these songs, these carols, with confidence. Because even though they might have been, they might be a little different than what we understand, the songs might be different than what actually happened, but they are about a very important night, the night that can fill us with peace, because they are the night that God brought peace into the world, in the night that God began to restore, renew, and redeem his relationship with us.
Well, we were going to show you the Charlie Brown Linus reading from Luke. Do you know that one? All right, so I'm just going to say it for you, and you can just imagine Linus up here holding his blankie, right? So that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them and said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, he has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you'll recognize him with this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." And suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." And do you know what Linus says right there? That's what Christmas is all about. And so that's why we're here today. God did for us what we could never do for ourselves. God and man are reconciled. His love brings us, it brings you and me, and those that we love who are far from God, brings us back together. See, God came both as the majestic king and the baby wrapped in cloth, right? It's not mundane. There was majesty in the manger because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he loves us. And so that is what Christmas is all about. So how many of you love the part of Christmas where you get to do something for someone else? Any bakers out here who are like, "Glad I can't eat the calories, I'm going to give those cookies away." Yes? How about those of you who are like really crafty and you like to make everyone a present? Anybody out there who just loves to make the homemade presents? Yes? Okay. I don't know where our friend went today, but we had people last night and this morning show up with their shovels, and they shoveled for all of you last night and tonight. That's how they care. They take care of each other. My friend Pete's sitting over here, and I can't end today without recognizing him. How many roasts did you give away yesterday? 500 roasts to families in Manchester stood out in that weather yesterday morning and cared for people. God put that in us, didn't he? We love to give. He gives us gifts so we can give them out. Okay, the older you are, this might be a little bit hard. How many of you love to receive gifts when you don't have anything to give back? Like someone, yes, thank you, Kemley. That's how we're supposed to be. So when someone comes to your house and they have bought you the most perfect present, my friend Sue had all the staff and elders over about a week ago. And she had found the cutest gift ever for my husband. He loves to cook, and she found him just this really funny oven mitt. But he didn't have anything to give her back, but she was so excited. She'd wrapped it beautifully and gave it to him, and he just laughed. And you know what he said when he received a gift that he had nothing to give back? Do you know what he said? "Thank you." Guys, that is what Christmas is all about. God did for us what we could never do for ourselves. Let earth receive her king and just say thank you. That's what it looks like this morning to celebrate Christmas. And so for those of us who are here today and we believe that God has done for us what we could never do for ourselves, We may have forgotten that. We may have just gotten used to this being a Christian thing. But it's amazing that God gave us a gift we could not earn. And all we need to do is say thank you. But maybe you're sitting here today and you have never done that. You've sang that song many times, let earth receive her king, and yet you've never received him. And simply say, God, I need you. And Jesus, I want you. So thank you. Let earth receive her king. In fact, if you leave today and you only remember one thing, this is what I want you to remember, that God's plan from the beginning, his way to reconcile us to himself was for earth, for you and for me to receive her king. That Jesus did what we could never do for ourselves, and we simply say, thank you. You know, God did not send Jesus to come and make bad people good, to make us a little bit better. No, we are a new creation. God came to make dead people alive. And my friend Isaiah is going to be on this stage next week preaching it. I want you back here at 10 o'clock to hear it. It's incredible. But that's the good news. God wants to make us new. And we simply say thank you. That's our job every day, today, tomorrow, Christmas, and going forward. Thank you. Thank you, God, that you did for me. You sent love's pure light. You sent Jesus. And friends, when we believe this, when we receive that love, do you know what happens? We can love one another. That's what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. He calls us his beloved. He says, beloved, love one another. Anyone that loves is born of God and knows God. So this morning, that's what we are saying. Harbor, that's who we are. We are loved. And when we believe he loves us, when we receive that gift, there's no shame. There's no shame. When we bring Kemley a gift and he loves it, he is going to say, thank you. And there's no shame. That's what we are called to do. Just receive the gift. There is no shame that we can't give back. He just gives it to us because he loves us. Receive that love, and then go and love one another's. You know, when we look at the Christmas story, there is no one that someone of that time would have picked that would have been more unlikely to see the King of Kings than a shepherd. I mean, that is the lowest level on the ladder, right? If you're going to go see the King of Kings, you're going to invite Herod, and you're going to invite the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But no, the angel came to the shepherds who had nothing to bring. It says in Luke 2:15, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And they hurried to the village, and there they found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds went and told everyone what had happened, what the angel had said about this child. And all who heard the shepherds were astonished. When was the last time you were astonished? See, as Jake shared those scriptures last night, the incredible, awesome majesty of God no longer astonishes us. We're just used to it. But here we are today celebrating this gift that we could not earn. And when we are astonished, we want to go tell it on the mountain. We want to share the good news. This Christmas is not about gifts or cookies or carols. They're lovely. This Christmas is about God and man reconciled. And those shepherds who had nothing to bring, they were who the angels invited. They didn't deserve it. They simply received it. So today, receive this. King Jesus, who paid it all, is majesty, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, bright morning star. And so we're going to finish our day today singing Joy to the World. And that's where this whole sermon came from. Let earth receive her king. I want to end with a verse from 1 John Chapter 4, verse 9. You can close your eyes while I read it over you. God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world that we might have eternal life through him. And so I'm just going to pray with you right now. Lord, we stand here today and we believe that what Revelation 3:20 says is true. You stand at the door and knock. And if we hear your voice and open the door, you will come in. And we will share a meal together as friends. Jesus, we continue to pray that you would transform us. You would help us to walk through this life with wonder. That we would recognize that you have reconciled us to you. There's nothing we've done. We just receive you and simply say thank you. And so, Lord, I pray over our next year that you would allow us to go out into the world and continue to help people find their way back to you. And we ask that together in the name of Jesus. Amen.